It's a beautiful truth of who God is and who we are in God. And so I invite you to hear now the reading from the scripture, Psalm 139, where it is written, "You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me, O God. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." The word of God for us, the people of God. Well, today we continue our sermon series, Unafraid, as we seek to live a life of courage and hope. And we began last week by acknowledging that in Scripture, it touches upon that human experience of fear. Over 400 times it talks about fear and being afraid. And there's this refrain throughout the Bible, whether it's on the lips of God or the lips of the angel or the lips of Jesus, where it says time and again, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid." And yet we find within life that there are many reasons that seem to impact us, that stoke a fear in our hearts and in our lives. And today we're going to talk about one that seems to impact us in different times of our lives. The sociologist and researcher Robert Weiss did a landmark study, and he found that 25%, a quarter of Americans, have extreme and feel extreme loneliness sometime every month. 25% of those in America feel extreme loneliness at some time every month. And we think about the impact of loneliness upon our life. Loneliness is that painful awareness that we lack meaningful connections with others. It's that sense of being disconnected from other people around us. And so it's interesting that loneliness is not really associated with whether or not we have lots of people around us. We can be in a stadium with 50,000 screaming fans, and we can be lonely. We can go up on a mountainside and enjoy the beauty of God and be alone and not feel lonely. You know, Jesus himself would go away up on the mountains and he would pray sometimes all night long. Wasn't necessarily lonely, though. Lonely is that inner disposition of feeling disconnected with others around us. And we know that the power of loneliness can shape our lives. We know throughout our life, we desire deep connections with others, and we were born after 9 months in our mother's womb, having a deep connection with our mother. And we know when babies are born that they cry because they're hungry, they cry because they need to be changed, and sometimes they cry because they just want someone to hold them. We know as we get near the end of our life, especially for those sometimes who are in facilities, sometimes what they want more than anything is they just want someone there. They just don't want to be and feel lonely inside. We see this in Scripture. We see times and places where loneliness is impacting some of the key people that we hear about. The Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, one of the last letters that he wrote, we know it as 2 Timothy in the Bible, and he's writing to Timothy, his young protege, and he's saying, he's in prison at this point, and he's saying, "I have been deserted. Everyone has left me. Please come to me as soon as you can." Because the Apostle Paul knows the power and the importance of people in the body of Christ, in the people of God. He had spent a lifetime of ministry writing about it in his letters. Time and again, it's in Paul's letters that we learn so much about the body of Christ, about being brothers and sisters to one another in Christ, about being the people of God in Christ. And we know that in the early centuries, especially those early years, if someone accepted Christ as their Savior, if they believed that he was the Messiah, oftentimes they would be rejected, ostracized by their family, by everyone they had known their entire life. they would be rejected. And so the church became that family for them. Suddenly they lost some brothers and sisters, but they gained a whole lot more brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we are called as a church throughout the ages to be a place where we are there for one another. The reality is that every Sunday here at Ocala West, there are people who walk through those doors, that deep inner sense of loneliness. And one of the powerful ministries that we can do here at the church is to be with them and for them. One of the ways and reasons why we talk about small groups on a regular basis, and we're going to be talking about them coming up again, and we talk about Sunday school classes, and we talk about the many different ways that we can be in connection with one another, is to help people who are feeling lonely inside to begin to have an opportunity to connect. Because let's face it, what kind of church are we? We are the sojourner church. I can count on one hand the number of people at Ocala West who actually grew up in Ocala. We all come here from someplace else. We all travel, and we've moved here to Ocala. And the only reason why we have friends is because we have had people who have opened their lives and their hearts to be friends to us. And so we ourselves are then called to be friends one to another. I mean, it sounds like something we talk about, we're supposed to be friendly, and we say that at times, but actually in the body of Christ, theologically, this is a deep and important point. Being there for one another, being a friend to someone, is actually very powerful and important, because loneliness can be so powerful and important and impactful in our lives. And so it is literally near the end of his ministry, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." He gave us the example, and he gave us the command, "Love one another as I have loved you." So that no matter where somebody is in their life, no matter whether they're young or old or rich or poor, no matter where they are in their journey in life, they can begin to know a place of God's love, God's grace in the flesh. We can begin to know one another concretely, because we are called to be a people. And we are called by God, who has said to us in Scripture that he himself is not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us abandoned. He's not going to leave us isolated. He's not going to leave us out someplace far away. The psalmist says, "It doesn't matter where I go, the Lord God is with him." And so it is with each one of us. It doesn't matter where you go, God is there with you. God's love is always seeking you out, always searching you out, always seeking to find you and let you know that you are not there, all isolated and broken off. God's grace is moving and stirring in your hearts. And part of what we are called in Scripture is to gain through Scripture the eyes to see, the ears to hear how God is moving in the world and moving in our lives, so we know that God is there with us. And of course, in the Bible, it's not just that God is with us. You know, it's powerful, it's important to know that we are not lonely, that God is there with us. But also, it's even more important to know the kind of God who is there and with us. The God who is there and with us is not simply one who is just watching us just out with a little sheet marking every time we say something wrong or we do something wrong, not the person who's just keeping a tally of every time we miss the mark. The God who is there with us is a God who deeply loves you, who wants you to have life and that abundantly, who wants you to know the freedom of forgiveness, who wants you to know the power of healing, who wants you to know that you are his child. This is the God that is with you. This is the God who is calling to you. Throughout the Scriptures, we see points where God says to folks in the Bible, he says this to Abraham. There's a point where Abraham is called a friend of God. Moses is called a friend of God. King David is called a friend of God. And sometimes we look at these characters, we look at the great heroes of the faith, and we say, well, yeah, they're heroes of the faith. That's why we call them that. There's these wonderful examples in Scripture, but I'm just me. But let us never forget what Jesus himself taught. Near the very end of this ministry, he said to his disciples, he said to them, I have called you servants. You have been my servants, but now I call you friends. There's this deep, abiding relationship that Jesus desires to have with his disciples, to have with you, to be a friend. Not just to be there present with you, but to be with you, that you may know his presence in return. Paul, as he continued to write in that letter near 2 Timothy near the end, he said, you know, even at a moment when everyone else deserted him, he knew that God was still there with him. The Lord was still with him, even in those hours. A number of years ago, in the early 1800s, I think it was 1820, there was a man by the name of Joseph. He was born in Ireland. He went off to college, Trinity College in Dublin, and eventually he found his sweetheart, his life companion. He couldn't wait to marry, and so they were so excited that they had the wedding planned, and everything was going to be great. And the night before their wedding, she drowned. And his heart was broken. And not only that, but there were some family relationships that were getting really difficult and challenging. And so ultimately what he did was he moved to Canada. And in Canada, he became a teacher and he was working there for a while. And he met another woman that just really captured his heart. And they fell in love. And so they decided to get married and everything was going to be great. And so they planned for the wedding. And as they were approaching the wedding day, she got sick. She never recovered. She died right before the wedding. And of course, for Joseph, this was devastating. And so he took a moment and began to realize that sense of loneliness that was creeping into his life and into his heart. It wasn't that he didn't have people around him. He just had this sense of loneliness. And he began to realize that other people around him, though, were feeling lonely as well. And he began to have this deep empathy for them. And so he was searching the scriptures and seeking what he should do. And he began to, for example, cut wood for those who were disabled and for the elderly who could not do that and who were at home alone so that they could feel warm during the winter. You know, he found ways to connect with people, and especially those who were disconnected. And eventually, around the age of 35, you know, he had moved to Canada. His family was back in Ireland. His mom was there in Ireland. And so he decided that he was going to send her a gift. And so he wrote a hymn. And the hymn that he wrote is a hymn you may have heard of before. It's entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And if you haven't heard that before, I just invite you to take a moment. We're going to invite Bo Fluharty, who is our director of traditional music, and Ruth, and I think she's going to accompany them. And they're just going to sing just the first stanza for us, just so we can hear those words, what a friend we have in Jesus, because that hymn begins to remind us that yes, God is with us, yes, God will never leave us, but God is always seeking to be a friend with us. Bo. Thank you, Bo and Alice and Ruth. How true it is that we have a friend in Jesus, one to whom we can bring all of our hopes and fears. And as the song unfolds, it begins to talk about Jesus is the one who knows. He's experienced it. He understands the trials that we have experienced in our life. He knows the pain that we experience. And so he is one who can truly empathize with wherever we are in life. And he continues to call us into his new life, that we may know his presence, we may know his peace, and that we may know his love. And so today I just invite you, as we take a moment now and go to God in prayer, may you just recall anew the truth of who God is for you. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the beauty and the gift of your love in Christ Jesus. You've promised not only to seek us out no matter where we are, but you are the one who seeks with love and grace. Lord, this morning may we open our hearts anew. May we feel the touch of your love. May we know that you are with us and that you will never leave us. Lord, we thank you for the truth of who we are, and we thank you for the truth of who this church is called to be, a place of love and hope. And so it is the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.